You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Disease Du Jour podcast. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, digital editor of EquiManagement. In this episode, I talked with Dr. Erica Secor about her ongoing research on osteoarthritis in horses. The Disease Du Jour podcast is brought to you in 2024 by Merck Animal Health. Dr. Secor grew up riding and training horses in Vermont. She completed her undergraduate degree in veterinary school at Cornell University and completed her residency at the University of Illinois. After residency, she worked as a staff surgeon in private practice before returning to Cornell in 2021 for her PhD. She currently studies the immune system's role in osteoarthritis and is working toward improving diagnostic capabilities and understanding how arthritis varies among individuals, with the goal of identifying how to better tailor osteoarthritis treatment to individual cases. Thank you, Dr. Secor, for joining us today.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about your research. It's very interesting. Can you provide a little bit of a background on your areas of focus?
Yeah, so I'm currently a PhD student, and so my research is kind of primarily how the immune system is functioning in the development of osteoarthritis, but also how we can improve our diagnostic and therapeutic capabilities for osteoarthritis, both in horses as well as in ourselves too.
Yeah, so I feel like we don't often hear about the immune system when we talk about osteoarthritis. So can you explain a little bit more about how exactly it contributes?
Yeah, absolutely. So we oftentimes think about our immune system when we have a bad cold or the flu or something like that. You know, our white blood cells doing their best at battling whatever invaders making us feel crummy. But our immune system plays key roles in both maintaining kind of our happy, healthy state, as well as non-pathogenic or non-bacterial or viral situations and issues as well. And osteoarthritis is one of those. So there's a lot of different types of white blood cells and kind of collectively immune cells. And these normally reside within our joints and kind of help maintain normal joint mechanics and joint fluid composition, kind of keeps everything running. But when we have insult to those joints, those immune cells both can kind of try to help and try to heal whatever the insult was, but can also kind of shift and start contributing to worsening of kind of that pathology. And that's where we're kind of trying to learn more about this interplay of how these immune cells both function in health and why we want them there, but also what happens to them in disease and how they contribute to osteoarthritis development as well.
Super interesting. I would also love to hear a little bit more about your work in improving diagnostic capabilities for osteoarthritis and a little bit more about your work in understanding how the disease varies among individuals.
Yeah, this is an area that a lot of people are kind of looking at right now. So we kind of use osteoarthritis as this catch-all term, right? We've got painful joints. When we look at x-rays, there's some very characteristic findings. We see thinning cartilage, so those joint surfaces kind of lose that nice, slippery, shock-absorbing cartilage. It's certainly one of the classic hallmarks of osteoarthritis. But there's a lot of different things that can actually kind of incite that development of osteoarthritis. So we can have things like, you know, our 90-year-old grandma, you know, 90 years of walking on joints will eventually cause degradation of that cartilage. But then we can see the, you know, kind of other end of the spectrum of a young horse with either developmental issues or a trauma to the joint that can incite osteoarthritis. So ultimately, we kind of characterize all of these as the same osteoarthritis, but the inciting factors can be very different. And there's several groups, ours included, kind of trying to figure out, are there different things that we can pick up early in the development of disease that might pinpoint what the exact kind of mechanisms are that are going on and contributing to that. Because it's likely that treating the young horse with some kind of joint trauma, you know, that horse would benefit much, you know, from a different treatment compared to the old horse standing in the pasture, you know, with degenerative disease. So yeah, there's a lot of groups kind of trying to tease out different diagnostic markers that may help pinpoint some of these different kind of pathways that are going on and contributing to osteoarthritis. And, you know, once we kind of figure out some of these different pathways that are contributing, hopefully can start to tailor our treatments a little bit better to the exact kind of mechanisms going on.
Today's Disease Azure podcast is brought to you by Prestige Vaccines from Merck Animal Health. Raise your standard in equine vaccines with Prestige. From a worldwide leader in vaccine manufacturing and innovation, the Prestige line has an enduring reputation of performance. Known for their safety and efficacy, only Prestige vaccines are backed by the Merck Animal Health Respiratory Biosurveillance Program, which helps practitioners create new standards of care and improved infectious respiratory disease management. Learn more at MerckAnimalHealthUSA.com. I'm really interested in diving a little bit deeper into some of your research. You recently presented about biomarker discovery using synovial fluid proteomics for equine osteoarthritis. Hopefully I said that right.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about this research, maybe the methodology for the study and some of the important takeaways?
Absolutely. So this is a really interesting study. So one kind of big hindrance that we have in studying horses, and all equine researchers can appreciate this, is our lack of available testing. So a lot of our kind of diagnostic tests and especially research methods rely on what we call antibodies. And these are little proteins that bind very specific parts of other proteins that we can then use to figure out, say, different concentrations of things in joint fluid or in blood or something like that. So if you do human or rodent research, you can pretty much find antibodies to anything your heart desires. Horses were much more limited in what we can measure. So this proteomic-based approach is a relatively new method, and it's really fascinating because there's no species-specific reagents needed. So it's really opened up what we can look at and discover, because we now no longer are relying on these very specific reagents. It's just picking up all of the proteins that are present in, for this study, we looked at joint fluid. So kind of the normal fluid that resides within our joints. So it's really cool because we no longer have those limitations of reagent availability. But the other really neat thing with a proteomics-based approach is we don't necessarily need to go in with one marker in mind. So we don't necessarily need to go in and say, I'm going to measure concentrations of protein A in osteoarthritis horses and healthy horses. We can say, I've got a group of osteoarthritis horses and a group of healthy horses, and I want to know all the things that are different in the protein composition between these two groups. So it's really cool because we can identify and kind of fine tune what we're looking at based on, we don't need to go in with markers in mind. So we can go in and find what markers might be useful to look at using this type of approach. And that's what we did with this study. So it was a group of horses with naturally occurring knee arthritis, and then a group of healthy control horses that we used this approach for. And some of the proteins that we picked up were ones that we kind of expected to see. They've been described before, but there were others that were really new and really novel and haven't been described in horses before with osteoarthritis. So that's really neat. So it kind of gives us a list of proteins that we can then take and say, okay, now we want to look at these further and see how these might help us as diagnostic markers, or start to fine tune, you know, some of those different mechanisms and pathways that might be involved in osteoarthritis.
Super fascinating. And I think you said you have a paper coming out about that pretty soon, if anyone's interested in learning more.
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. And I'm sure we'll cover that further on Aquamanagement once that's published. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you believe the future looks like for osteoarthritis research. And do you believe there will be a shift in the near future in how and when we diagnose and manage the condition?
It is an area that's so many people are researching. And one of the big reasons there's so much research in osteoarthritis is, so cartilage doesn't do a very good job at repairing itself and definitely doesn't do a very good job at regenerating. So all of our therapies at this point, we can band-aid it and we can make joints feel better, but we have no way of definitely not reversing the changes that we see with osteoarthritis. And most of the time we don't even do a very good job at slowing it down. You know, that's why in humans, a lot of joints with bad osteoarthritis, you start looking at joint replacements, but we don't have that option in horses. So it's certainly an area of research, again, both on the equine side, but also the human side of, are there ways that we can, you know, start to change some of the pathways involved that, you know, we can maybe slow it down, or gosh, even better would be, you know, reverse those changes. And I think that's a long, long way out. But the more we learn about the different mechanisms involved, the different pathways involved, depending on what causes the that development of osteoarthritis, the cells involved, you know, those immune cells, how can we, you know, which cells are there and potentially contributing to arthritis? But then on the other side of that, how can we alter the function of those cells to maybe start working in our favor instead of contributing to osteoarthritis? So it's an area that there is tons of research coming out right now, and I'm really excited to see where it goes over the next few years. I unfortunately think we're several decades out still from having the golden bullet for curing osteoarthritis, but there's a lot of groups working on trying to improve both our diagnostic and our what we call disease modifying therapeutics, you know, where we can actually change the course of disease instead of just make our patients feel better.
Yeah, that is really exciting, because this is something that affects just about every horse at some point in their lives. And I'm sure every veterinarian listening has a long list of clients that they're trying to make more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is there anything else you'd like to add on the topic of your research, or anything else interesting before we wrap up?
No, I think it's a really fascinating area. And like I said, there's a lot of new stuff coming out, and every day there's new stuff coming out. So certainly everyone, you know, keep an eye on the papers coming out. And it's certainly an area that I think we'll see a lot of gains here in the next several years. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Seeker, for joining us today. And thank you so much to our audience for listening. And a very special thank you to our sponsor, Merck Animal Health, for allowing us to have these discussions. If you're enjoying the podcast, we would really appreciate if you would rate and review wherever you're listening. And if you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, please send me an email at csison@equinenetwork.com. That's csison@equinenetwork.com.